Hi, everybody. This is Farce Value, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Okay. Well, without further ado, looks like we have a couple listeners anyway. We're going live. Do you care if we go live over the air?
That's fine with me.
Okay, because I haven't talked to you before, so we just had a quick interaction while you made a message on my sub-blog, moreab.fakeologist.com, responding to my little message. So we actually have not talked at all. So everyone can know that this is completely unscripted. And
right.
I gave you a little... Well, you know where I'm coming from in the sense that I've been doing research into different things for the last 4 years. I've been into the media... Just so I can explain myself, I don't know how much you know of me just looking at my blog, but I've been studying the media for a long, long time, and only 4 years ago did I see it from a different way, and that's how I basically got looking into everything, and that's, as I told you, pretty much the only way I would have started looking at alternative foods, alternative medicine, just by virtue of the fact that it seems to me that almost everything we're told isn't quite the way it seems in reality.
And yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So you made it clear to me that you're not on board with a lot of the way I'm thinking, which is fine. I don't expect anyone to agree with everything I say. As a matter of fact, I'm just happy anyone listens to me at all. And I was surprised that when I went into discussing what I've been discussing for the last 4 years, there were any other people. It turns out there's hundreds and thousands of people that talk about this kind of stuff. Little did I know. But that's how I stumbled upon your site, mainly because, again, I've been looking at different people, and this whole alternative media, independent media, has been flourishing on the internet now. It's constantly blossoming. And that's essentially how I bumped into your site, by looking at just what I think are independent people talking about health, and they seem real in a lot of ways, so I somehow give them a little more credo than just maybe the mainstream. Although I do obviously listen to the mainstream because they're foremost and frontmost. And then I stumbled across your site, just doing a little more research, and again, let me introduce everyone to you. And you are Jonathan Nisbet, and I found your site called Nature's Platform, and I did link to it, naturesplatform.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason that I found your site is looking at an alternative YouTuber who's extraordinarily popular right now called Freely the Banana Girl, who has 624,000 followers, so she's quite a going concern right now.
Mm-hmm.
So she did a little video that I saw last week, and do you mind if I play it? It's only 3 minutes.
No, not at all.
Okay, here we go. This is what I started listening to.
Hey, Fruitbats. So we've definitely been covering some shitty topics lately, literally, so I thought I'd continue on with that and show you how I squat on the toilet. Well, I don't always squat like that. I sometimes use a squatty potty, as you can see underneath my feet, that bit of plastic. I'll put my feet up on that, or else, yeah, I've definitely squatted on a lot of toilets, but look, you have to be careful, all right? People have been known to break toilets, so you got to keep in mind your weight and the stability of the toilet and just think about it before you get up there, because it could be very, very dangerous. You can Google, actually, some pretty bad accidents. But it is super, super healthy for your colon. It is so good for your digestion, your colon elimination, everything like that. So I just want you to watch this quick little snippet from this amazing video. I'll put a link to the video in the description below as well. It's showing the importance of squatting when it comes to delivering a fluffy, fruity floater in the toilet.
Many people today remain unaware that sitting toilets pose a danger to their health and well-being. Today, a growing number of medical experts say humans are designed to squat to eliminate. It all comes down to positioning. Squatting releases pressure on the rectum and makes it easier to defecate. Sitting in a Western-style toilet means you're pushing against your own muscles. Many doctors say that squat toilets reduce the chances of constipation, hemorrhoids, and even bowel cancer. Research shows that a bathroom posture plays a bigger role in these ailments than a lack of dietary fibre. Stanford University has revealed a new study that shows squatting is the proper and recommended way to go to the bathroom. So, what is the big difference between the two positions? Sitting on the modern-style Western sit-down toilet is designed to place your knees at a 90-degree angle to your abdomen. Sitting on a squatting toilet, your body is placed at a 35-degree angle. Neuroscientists say when a person squats, his or her thighs are pressed against the lower abdomen. The action of these thighs supports the colon and causes the pressure inside the abdominal cavity to increase. The resulting natural pressurization of the colon facilitates waste evacuation. In the squatting position, the pelvis is also suspended like a cradle, and the buttock opens up to expose the anus. Squatting does what sitting cannot do. It releases the kink in the anal canal. This straightens the final pathway between the rectum and the anus, making it easy for the waste to pass out easily and completely. However, in the sitting position, the kink, the bend, between the rectum and the anal canal is not released. The abdominal and colon is also deprived of any support from the thighs. As a result, a person using the seated posture for defecation is forced to hold the breath and strain and push downwards for waste evacuation. Yet, evacuation can never be complete, resulting in accumulation and hardening of residual wastes in the lower regions of the colon. All this opening of the buttocks, straightening of the anal canal, beneficial increase in the abdomen and hence compression of the colon can only take place in the squatting position. The result is easier, faster, and more complete bowel movements.
Okay, so wasn't that awesome? Just make sure you check out the rest of the video. The link is in the description below. And that's definitely one of my secrets to having a flat belly as well. Getting up on that potty and squatting. Try it. So if you enjoyed this video, if you found it fascinating, give us a thumbs up. And leave any comments below that you have, and I'll see you soon. Don't forget to go fruit or root yourself.
All right. So it's no secret that I really like this girl. She's quite something to follow and certainly something to look at. So I'm a pretty normal heterosexual male. So I don't just follow her over cliffs wherever she goes. But it got me looking into this because I had never really heard about this before. And that got me to your website. So let me let you do a little bit of talking because I've hogged the whole airwaves because I'm a little bit out of practice doing interviews, as you could tell. So tell me about you and your site because it's got some of the most extensive research that I could find on the internet about this. So take her away. How long have you been doing this?
I've been squatting since 1970. I'm now 66 years old, so it's been about 46 years.
Wow.
And I got started when I picked up a book on yoga and saw a picture of the yogi in the squatting position, and the caption said, "This is the proper way to do your bodily functions." And I was quite amazed, so I immediately tried it out and was very happy with the results. Of course, my roommates in college, where I was at the time, were quite amused by the concept. They didn't want to have anything to do with it themselves, but I continued for the next 28 years. I just did it on my own without telling anyone about it. It's not the sort of thing that you'd want to discuss in a social situation. But over the course of time, I got inspired to spread the knowledge of squatting to the public as a whole. I just felt compelled by some divine inspiration or compulsion to educate the population about the importance of natural defecation. Mm-hmm. At the time, I didn't know that there were any health benefits at all to squatting. But the way I happened to learn about the health benefits is that I started a company to market a squatting device. It was a very convenient device that could be put over the toilet bowl or removed in 3 seconds so that the other members of the family were not inconvenienced. And since I had to figure out a way to make the product popular, I thought that I should research all the possible benefits that it would provide. Initially, I wanted it to be sold in every Walmart in the country, thinking that that was the only way that I would be able to get the publicity for this concept. It was basically a pretext to allow me to discuss a taboo subject. And but I had really no business aptitude or interest. I've been very reclusive all my life. I just thought I had to make the business successful in order to popularize the concept. So I did the research on the web and found lots of different researchers who had studied the concept and had come to some very interesting conclusions. And most of that research had been done before the internet era, so they didn't have access to each other's discoveries. So each one of them had certain aspects of squatting, the benefits explained, but they didn't have the full picture, and some of them had even gotten their own angle wrong. But since I had access to everyone's perspective, because the web was an incredibly powerful tool, I was able to clean up all the research that I could find. I was able to come up with my own discoveries. I would say about half of the benefits that I discuss on my site just came out of my own head, and then I did the research to corroborate it. And so that was in 2001 that I started that the website
Wheel
went live.
Sorry.
Open range.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
I started to get orders trickling in very slowly, and pretty soon after a few years, the orders became so numerous that I had to I had to decide what to do. I had to decide whether to become a real company with employees and vendors and all the trappings of a company, mm-hmm. or to retain my my natural inclination towards solitude and just to use the website as an educational tool. And so for the last I would say 8 or 9 years, the website has been sitting out of stock on a fairly permanent basis.
Okay.
And the only orders I fill, okay, I don't know if I should even say this publicly, but if people contact me by email or by phone and express their frustration with the inability to order, then I explain to them how to actually place an order.
Okay.
And that allows the volume of orders to just about match my capacity as a one-man company.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I did look at your platform. Would you describe it as more of a? It looks like a table almost that sits over top the toilet with a small passageway.
It's a tilted table because mm-hmm. you have to be sort of facing downhill.
Right.
Most Westerners who have grown up deprived of squatting have lost the flexibility in their Achilles tendons,
okay.
and can't squat on a level surface.
Oh, is that why? Okay, but you can squat on a flat surface.
Yes. I squat on a perfectly flat platform.
Okay,
but most Americans would fall backwards if they tried that.
Oh, okay. Because my daughter was trying to squat actually, and she was falling backwards. So I can verify that, and I just thought she was having balance issues. So is that because her Achilles tendon is just too weak to support her on a level surface?
Correct. How old is she?
She's 17.
Okay, so if they start squatting early enough, In my case, even though I was already 20 when I started, mm-hmm. I was just lucky enough to have flexible Achilles tendons. Mm-hmm. But most people, after they get to be a teenager, things start to harden. Mm-hmm. And
including attitudes.
Yeah, as there are as many people who are psychologically incapable of squatting as physically.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Well, yeah, can we go into the history of this a bit, because this is totally fascinating to me. And as you saw on my website, fakeologist.com, you know that I have I'm either super skeptical or super conspiratorial, and I just call myself mainly super skeptical. And I just demand explanations. I'm not into aliens, or I'm not even to chemtrails, or I'm just a regular working stiff guy that has just a passion for computers and for technology and current events, and really, now that I have a slightly conspiratorial bent to me, and that's the only explanation that makes sense to many of the things that just made me scratch my head. I apply a slight conspiratorial bent towards how we could have gone from something very natural, mm-hmm. like you say, squatting down, to this very unnatural way of sitting, this very poor posture for elimination. So can you maybe give some history that you've outlined on one of your many essays on the website about how this all began? When did we stop squatting, and what are the reasons? Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, it was in the 19th century when indoor plumbing was introduced. And along with the indoor plumbing came the modern pedestal toilet. And it was invented by a carpenter and a plumber, and they didn't know anything about physiology, so they thought they were doing people a favor by making their daily elimination more comfortable and convenient.
Okay, hold on, stop right there. How did people eliminate before these two guys came along? What was the normal methodology? Because I'm pretty ignorant about history.
Yeah, they generally squatted over a container. What's it called?
A chamber pot? Is that a chamber pot?
A chamber pot, yeah.
Okay.
And dumped it out the window.
Wow. So that would have been, what year would they be doing that regularly? 1850? 1800?
Yeah, 1850 and before.
So in 1850, you would squat over a chamber pot for doing number one or number two, and then just walk over to the window and throw it out onto the road.
Exactly.
And I know people didn't know about different diseases, causes of diseases at that time, but wouldn't just slip sliding down the road out front be ridiculous for most people? And then, you know, that might be a stupid thing to do, even in, say, London. it just seems crazy. Do they throw their garbage out too, the window?
That I don't know. That I don't know. But I have seen drawings of the chamber pots being emptied into the gutter, mm-hmm. from the upper stories.
So a guy walking down the sidewalk, I guess they wouldn't be walking down near a window if they're walking down the street.
They were very careful.
Wow, that's crazy. That just seems crazy, just in itself.
Yeah, lots of things. The porcelain throne is going to seem just as crazy in a few decades.
Okay, well, I hope so. So then they decided that throwing their waste out the window was not a great idea. So then there was a drive for indoor plumbing to carry that waste to the sewer system.
Yes,
with water.
Well, it was initially just carried to the river.
Okay,
there was no. It was raw sewage was just flowing into the London River, the Thames. Mm-hmm. And then when cholera started to become a problem, they realized that they had to improve their sanitation.
Mm-hmm. And that's when the bacteria that's in the fecal matter is ingested. That's basically what cholera is. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. It seems so simple now that to do something about the waste, but it's amazing how ignorant people were, society was in general, not only just under 200 years ago. Okay, so then they decided to, and the gentleman, the plumber and the carpenter, was that Sir Thomas Crapper?
I believe there were two other people. I don't think Crapper, despite his name, invented the toilet. He sold toilets that were improved, but it was two other people who actually invented it.
Okay. So they brought a design, and the idea was to, well, I guess indoor plumbing would just be what we have now, basically a hole in the floor, and instead of lining up the chamber pot to the hole in the floor, they decided to, why would they have created a big seat? And I think there's some indication that this was somehow tied in for the queen.
Well, she used a porcelain throne, or actually it was made out of metal, and it was gold-plated. So the people selling the new porcelain version, mm-hmm, wanted to be able to say, you can take a crap just like the queen.
So the queen was sitting on a throne going into a chamber pot before plumbing anyway, or she might have had plumbing in the castle.
Exactly.
So the queen never squatted. Is that what we're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting. Because I guess she just couldn't squat. Not everyone can squat, I guess.
Oh, well, everyone can squat if they start young enough.
Okay.
And most adults can regain the ability to a certain extent.
Right. Okay.
And so the subject of bodily functions was so taboo, mm-hmm, that even if a doctor realized the damage that was being done by the unnatural posture, mm-hmm, he would be very reticent to bring it up, to make any complaint about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, let me give a little more of the history of how I came to this. I'm a big radio listener. I've been for the last 30 years, since I do a lot of driving. Mm-hmm. And I got to, I listened to a shock jock type called Howard Stern, who I'm sure you know, being in the United States, is pretty popular on the East Coast. And actually, I pretty much stopped listening to him now, mainly because there's so many good amateur audios out there that I just can't stand mainstream anymore. However, at least a year ago or so, he does promote health in his own jocular, annoying way. And he did mention the squatty potty. And they were talking about this stool for quite a while. And I call that psychic driving, where if you just hear something long enough, you're going to look into it or respond to it somehow. Mm-hmm. And then, coincidentally, another podcast that is very popular in my area, the Toronto area, called The Humble and Fred Show, they started talking about the squatty potty. Now, by that time, I'd already bought this stool called the squatty potty, where essentially, just as you know, it just elevates your legs up off the floor, maybe 6 inches, so your knees are slightly above your hips. Mm-hmm. And that made a huge difference for me in the... And the main, I mean, let's be rude about, I guess it's not rude to say, the main thing I noticed is I had a completely uninterrupted bowel movement, what I'd call a bull wrapper. It's just uninterrupted, mm-hmm, beautiful. And if you look at the chart of, I think it's on your website, I saw it, of bowel movements, it was definitely in the top five of, mm-hmm, and anyway, so... Again, when I was watching Freely, this is the evolution of what I've been doing, and when she went and did that very quick but very succinct video, that's when I realized that maybe I'm only going halfway with what I'm doing. And so can you quickly speak to, before we go back to the history, of what is the difference between this and the squatty potty? Because the squatty potty actually is getting a ton of airplay, at least on the podcast I'm listening to, and they're really they're really pushing hard. It's a $22 Canadian, which is even less where you live, item now in our local hardware store, our national hardware store. They just released it this week, so this is this. So I thought this topic is actually trending, if you want to talk about it in that way. So please tell us, before everyone does rush out to get a squatty potty, what is the difference between that and what you advocate, if any?
Oh, yes, there's a complete difference. Sitting with your feet elevated is a very poor imitation of genuine squatting.
Okay.
It on a 1 to 10 scale, where 1 is using nothing at all and 10 is the full squat, the squatty potty is maybe a 2 or 3.
Okay.
On that scale. And what they are doing is sort of pretending that all of the benefits of squatting, which, by the way, they have plagiarized from my site, can be gained by without really squatting.
Mm-hmm. Without much effort, which, of course, is the North American, not to beat on Americans, because I am one as well.
Yeah.
It is the American way. Whatever is really easy, if it's easy, we'll do it, and it's going to sell, right? If it's made so simple and so watered down, then it's going to sell.
Yes, they are pandering to the ignorance of the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, I was very annoyed that they were using all my research to promote their bogus device.
Mm-hmm.
But then finally, I realized that at least they were helping to break the taboo
mm-hmm.
on this subject.
Yeah.
And that eventually people would realize that there's something better, something more natural.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on their website, they actually show they show genuine squatting, but they have a label on it as too natural, T-O-O, natural. Mm-hmm. And
they actually are casting aspersions on squatting.
Exactly.
You're kidding. I did not see that.
It's criminal. It's criminal because what they're doing is they're telling children not squat. And as a result of not squatting, they will grow up unable to squat very well.
Wow. I got to find that. That's crazy. So they call it too natural. Wow.
They say they have three pictures. One, the conventional position, which they say is too unnatural, and then they have the full squat, which they say is too natural, and then they have the squatty potty, which they say is just right.
Okay, now, I gotta find that. Okay.
Yeah, if you just go to squattypotty.com, you should see that picture. And by just right, they mean this will keep the money flowing into our bank account, because
mm-hmm.
they sell millions of these things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I see it now. Too natural. Yeah, you're right. It's right on the front page. It's on the left. We are designed to squat. Too unnatural, just right, and too natural. Okay. That's pretty amazing.
Now my objective from the very beginning, when I started in 2001, is to completely eradicate the Western toilet, except for the handicapped. And So what they are doing is kind of delaying that goal by saying that you can use a Western toilet if you just prop your feet up.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually the truth will come out, and people will realize that there's a world of difference between the genuine squat and the bogus footstool method.
Well, the way I look at it is this. We have a lot of people that pretend to be telling the truth in the truth community. And I often think, and the people like me that do more research than the average researcher, I've been researching what I like to research for about 4 years now. And I know the only thing I know for sure is I don't know everything. And I just, that's why I just keep going. I keep on, keep on keeping on. I keep going on because I'm positive I'm only scratching the surface of my research. So that's why I decided, well, I didn't really push on past the Squatty Potty, truth be told, but because of Freely, she got me thinking, well, maybe I'm just taking the easy way out. Because again, I didn't even see this part of the SquattyPotty.com website. And even if I did see it without you saying that, I probably would have just breezed right by it.
Yeah.
In a way, I see what you're saying, that you get mad at them because you're in the business of number two, at least education.
I'm in the education business.
Yeah, you're in the education business of number two. They're in the mass marketing of the number two.
But they're in the exploitation business.
Yeah, the exploitation of elimination. But you almost at the beginning thought they're doing more harm than good, but then you seem to have softened your position a bit, pardon the pun, and now you think, well, at least they're a gateway to at looking into this at all or talking about it.
Exactly.
So
yes, they are essentially doing what I had intended to do when I wanted my product in every Walmart in the country. Mm-hmm. They are selling millions of these things, and so it's getting into the mass consciousness that the Western toilet is defective.
Yeah.
And eventually the right solution will see the light of day.
They're almost, to do another really bad pun, they're almost squatting on your territory.
like a squatter. They started out just plagiarizing my site like crazy.
Yeah.
And when I complained, they sort of
relented a bit.
They touched it up here and there to disguise that, but it's everyone has their own karma and their own dharma, mm-hmm. and I just have to wait for nature to save the day.
Right. Well, maybe this interview will, if you do end up posting on your site, maybe it will help those that want to look into this a little further do so. So just my quick comment on that is I'm using the Squatty Potty now, and I'm going to give you a little anecdotal evidence in my family. I can't even get people to put their feet up. It's ridiculous. And I've told them... it's a stool, for God's sakes. You put your feet on it. What's the difference? Your feet are either on the floor or on the stool. But I'm still doing my cell job on everyone. Unfortunately, they have to live with me.
Yeah.
So I'm putting we're practicing squatting on the floor right now just without falling over, because I will be taking delivery of a lily pad. Sorry to say, it's the competition. I will be taking, because it was the closest I could to find, just in my brief analysis, of something that looks sort of like furniture. So I didn't really want to set up a table in my small little bathroom. However, mm-hmm. I'm not against the look of your product. It's just that this looked like the best fit right now, but who knows, maybe that'll change as well. We're kind of experimenting.
As I said, I'm trying to reduce the demand for my product, not increase
it. I understand. Yeah.
And for any of your listeners, I would strongly recommend the do-it-yourself platform mm-hmm. that's on my frequently asked question page, number six.
Okay. What's that made of?
Well, it's made of concrete blocks and plywood.
Okay.
Now, if the concrete blocks are painted white or whatever color your toilet is, it doesn't look bad, and even though we're talking about concrete blocks, it does not inconvenience the people in the family who do not want to squat, mm-hmm. because the concrete blocks are sitting on each side of the bowl, and all you have to do is remove the plywood, which takes just 1 second, and if you want to sit in the normal way, there's no problem.
Okay, I'm putting a link to that, what you're talking about, on my website. for anyone listening, you're listening to Fakeologist episode 155. This is a little off our normal beaten path of what we talk about. However, I think it's really important, and my podcast has been pretty infrequent lately, and I did want to talk about this because I really think a lot of people say, well, all I do is talk about the negative stuff, and I just offer nothing. I think this is what some people would call a solution that maybe not necessarily is totally related to what I talk about, but all my radio broadcasts are under the Fakeologist banner still, although I was thinking of starting just a non-fakeologist under my other site, moreab.fakeologist.com. But in the meantime, the note that Jonathan just alluded to is under FAK155, Fakeologist 155, radio broadcast, Jonathan Isbitt. And I'm just linking to your FAQ number 6, and that is a tip for those over 300 pounds. I guess that's why you originally did it.
Originally, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's a cheap. Would those be concrete cinder blocks? I guess. I mean, those are pretty. They're not exactly aesthetically pleasing for the bathroom. I know for sure my wife would never let me drag those into the house. So.
Well, as I said, if you paint them, they it makes a world of difference.
Okay, so you maybe spray paint it, whatever color of your bathroom, and then and polish up the. All right. Well, you're saying that because it's a cheap solution, or because it can be ignored or pushed to the side, or both?
No, I'm advocating that because it's a way for every person in the entire world to instantly, overnight, start squatting without any barriers to in terms of buying a
cost. Yeah. Okay.
And also, no matter how much they weigh, and it's just an instant conversion of a porcelain throne into a squatter.
So the cinder blocks, well, I'm guessing they're cinder blocks. That's what I call a big concrete block. It would go vertically up, and then the board would go across. Do we have an actual? Oh, you do have an actual picture. Okay, now I see it. Okay. So the boards straddle the cinder blocks and the side of the toilet bowl, and that's where your feet go. Two little boards look like elongated cheese boards. Oh, they bridge the gap. I see. Okay, yeah, you do have
a
picture.
Now, okay. It would work without the plywood, but your feet would be too far apart.
Okay.
And my slight complaint about the lily pad is that your feet are a little too far apart for the average person to feel completely natural.
Okay, yeah, that's one thing. I've just ordered it because I haven't tried it yet, and I haven't really haven't done any of the mechanics yet on this. So one of the techniques of squatting is you should almost be just having your how far apart should your feet be? Let's put it that way.
Whatever's comfortable.
So basically you're just standing up and then you squat. That would be the most natural thing to do, right? So
Yes.
So that would be the protocol. So that would
lead. And if you did that, there would be no way to fit a toilet in between your feet.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay. So you'd be using some different thigh muscles since you're doing more of a straddle with the lily pad. I see. Interesting. So you just gave us the very cheap version, I guess. Go to Lowe's or Home Depot and get a couple cinder blocks. They're probably $3 each, and then plywood, and then away you go.
Yeah, the whole thing is less than $10.
Hmm. And you don't make a dime off it, just your local Home Depot. Interesting.
No, the only way I'll ever make money off squatting is
books.
If some foundation that rewards medical discoveries recognizes the significance of my website.
Mm-hmm. But it's more of a rediscovery, really. You're just bringing back the past.
Well, it's a rediscovery if you just look at squatting by itself. But if you look at all of the medical benefits,
okay,
they're not at all obvious.
Okay, we're going to get to that. Do you have how much? Do you have another hour or so? Are you okay on time?
I'm okay. Yes.
Okay. I'm not being too conspiratorial. Are you comfortable in this conversation? I don't want to say anything out of line where you might feel uncomfortable with my way of thinking and looking at things.
Not at all. I hope to convince you that that squatting has not been suppressed by any conspiracy.
No, we're going to get to that. That's why I want to go back. I promise to get back. I want to go back to the history now because I do want to. Mm-hmm. I do want to follow this carefully because I don't smell a rat yet, but I don't smell anything right now. But I do want to go into the history and just see exactly how this came about, because I don't know where you stand on the medical system, but I do think money, which now controls everything, does have a lot to do with how medicine is practiced and all and education. So anytime two people or an industry get together, especially with the government, that the word conspiracy can still be used, right? People do conspire, which is Latin for breathing together, or work together to further their end. So, it doesn't have to be a negative term, is what I'm trying to say. So I don't want to. when there's a conspiracy, I conspire every day with my wife as to what we're having for dinner. She asks me, and I tell her. So there.
That's pretty egregious stretch of the meaning of conspiracy.
Oh, you think? Well, okay. Well, I'm okay. You always consider it more. You consider it more of a negative term.
Certainly nefarious.
Nefarious, okay. Okay, well, that's fair. That's okay. That's certainly the popular use of the word. I'm not going to look it up right now because I want to get back to the history. So let's get back to making everyone have a throne in their home with this new invention called sewage or indoor plumbing.
Sanitation, yeah.
Sanitation for the nation. Okay. So continue on.
It just so happened that they designed it this way because, you know, people shouldn't have to take their pants off altogether. It was just more convenient, more civilized, and by the way, all of the colonies were looked down upon as primitive and in need of the white man's edification. Mm-hmm. So whatever the natives of India and Africa, et cetera, were doing was regarded as, quite backward.
Can I take a little story? Can I interrupt there? Because every time you say something, I think of something. And if I don't say it now, I'm probably going to forget because I don't like to make notes. And people hate this. Some people don't like this style of interviewing, but I hope you forgive me.
No, I enjoy when to give my voice a rest.
Okay, a little back and forth. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I appreciate that because I have a lot to say. But anyway, that's why I started a talk show. But that's another story. I have a lot of Indian friends. In Toronto, one of our number one immigration groups is from Southeast Asia. And I have a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine actually, Indian from the Punjab. And he got here about 20 years ago. And I asked him about this. I said, I know for sure, just from reading your website, that there's a lot of squatting going on in India. And I know he has a place back in India, like most of the people that live here. And I said, what do you guys use back there? What's going on back there right now? He said, yeah, I squatted my whole life. When I came here, I started, obviously, with the Western Throne. And I think within a year, he got appendicitis. I kid you not. That was the one thing I saw on your website that really whacked me, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And he got appendicitis here. And there was no link in his mind, of course, to what you say could be a link between the improper posture on the Golden Throne And I thought that was fantastic. And that was totally unprompted, where I said,
yes.
And that just blew me away. When I heard that, I thought, I got to get going right away on this and start doing something now, because I'm halfway through my life, of course, and this is when the problem starts to pile up or back up.
Okay. Now, there's a website called The Kitchen Rag.
Okay.
Which told a story. This lady from Romania.
The Kitchen Rag. Okay.
Had been squatting her whole life, and then she immigrated to the U.S. And again, within a year or so, she got appendicitis.
Oh, God.
It was a really touching story, because all her life she had been pestering her father to replace the outhouse with a Western toilet. And then when she got appendicitis and read my website, she realized that squatting had so many other benefits. And she called her father, who's back in Romania, and sort of asked his forgiveness for pestering him and leading him astray about the need to adopt a Western toilet.
Interesting. And she was from Romania, you said?
Yeah, just Google The Kitchen Rag.
Yeah, I got it.
Squatting.
Oh, okay. I just got her site, The Kitchen Rag, and okay. And look up, she has a squatting story.
It's a really powerful, moving story. Very similar to what you just told.
You're pooping wrong. The Kitchen. Okay, I'm going to link to that right now. And the reason why I related my story is that he told me in India right now, the government is giving money to modernize all of India. I'm sure it's Western money or IMF money. And they are installing indoor plumbing fastly and furiously all across India, putting the Western throne in. So that's happening right now.
Do you know what an Anglo-Indian toilet looks like?
No.
It's a pedestal toilet which has foot pads built in to the bowl.
Okay.
So that it can be used in the squatting or the sitting position.
Okay.
And if they would install those instead of the Western toilet, they would save themselves, you know, billions of dollars in healthcare expenses.
If that was a real goal. But that gets into conspiracy. I don't want to say that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. It is the goal for the accountants in the government, but it's certainly not the goal for the medical practitioners.
Interesting. I never heard of that. This is why I'm glad I'm talking to you now. The Anglo-Indian bowl. Because I was actually, that's more of what I would like to do in my house, to be honest with you. But
Have you Googled it just now?
I just did, and I'm posting it on my website, fakeologist.com. That's where I'm, if you go to fakeologist.com right now, if you're in front of a computer or following along at home, I am putting links as we're talking, because I don't have a lot of time after the show. So every time you say something, I do post the link, and I'm going to update it. I update the post as I'm going. So if I sound like I'm not paying attention, I'm actually trying to keep up with you and all these notes here. Yeah, because that, if anyone knows where you can get one, can you get it on Amazon?
There's no way you can get one that will work in North America.
Okay, why is that?
It would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to do the tooling.
Oh.
The Indian version, they're only made in India, and the Indian version will not work with North American plumbing.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that somebody will get inspired to, to do the tooling, and it'll start to become available in every Home Depot or whatever the equivalent is in Canada.
Mm-hmm. What? Well, we're the same. This is the 51st state here, so I know you don't get our There's nothing Canadian left. Sorry, that's gone. Oh, Canada, as we say. Oh dear. No, it's we got all the wonderful American trappings. You wouldn't know where you were. You would think you were in America if you drove up here. You wouldn't. Uh-huh. You wouldn't even see the border. But what is the difference between the plumbing? I see that it's got an exit hole halfway up the throne. Is that the difference? That
yes.
So they don't have the hole in the floor there.
No.
Hmm.
And you know, it would be very easy to. It would probably take maybe a few weeks or less for the engineers to design the North American version of that toilet, and it would sell like hotcakes.
Man, so. Because I did ask my contracting friend, who's a carpenter, to look into this and ask what the options would be. And I think it might have been your site where it seems like the plumbing is a problem for the whole concept of putting just a squatter on the floor. Just to get the waste down the sewage pipe is the biggest problem, right?
Well, there was a company for, I think, about 5 years, a company called Blue Earth Ceramics.
Okay.
Which made conversion kits for a genuine squat toilet, and it didn't require it didn't require digging up the floor. It was actually slightly elevated, mm-hmm. but they took a standard squat toilet that they imported from China, and allowed it to be installed in place of the Western toilet.
Mm-hmm. Looks like they're out of business. I just went to their website.
Excuse me. They are out of business.
Ah, rats. Another one down. I guess all they sell is bidets, it says here.
Yeah.
And is that just because of it wasn't catching on?
I don't know why they went out of business.
Okay.
But you know, I've gotten a lot of inquiries from people asking where they can get a squat toilet.
Because if I can't get people to use a stool, this is going to be a hard sell. And even if
there will always be early adapters. And if you see a close relative die of colon cancer, and you become completely convinced by medical research that this is the reason.
Mm-hmm.
That has that goes a long way toward breaking down your psychological barrier.
Well, I know. I actually have a friend who died of cancer that started in the colon, as we all know that the people that I talk to anyway on this site and others, it's the treatment that ultimately kills you anyhow. But, his problems started with polyps in the damn colon. And I guess he didn't go for his follow-up 2 years after they clipped the polyps. And 2 years later, he's dead.
Well, and colon cancer is not found among squatting populations.
And it's one of the highest frequency cancers in North America, for sure. I think it's
actually one of the highest throughout the whole world,
mm-hmm.
Because all of the urban areas, even in the Eastern Hemisphere, have been adopting Western toilets.
Oh, it's just awful. And you know, everyone knows that. As the saying goes, everyone knows someone who's got cancer, and all they do is throw more money at the same old system, and nothing changes. And that's where people with a conspiratorial bent get bent right out of shape, thinking, well, they're holding information back. They know how to cure it. Well, it sounds like the answers are all over in little tiny corners of the internet like yours, but nobody's looking because we're all busy running for cancer. As we eat the crap and then go try and crap it out the wrong way.
I've contacted thousands of doctors. Whenever they publish a paper, claiming to have a way to prevent colon cancer, mm-hmm. I contact them and say, you're trying to prevent a disease without understanding what causes it. And there are probably very few medical doctors in the country who have not seen my site and are not aware of this highly plausible hypothesis. Mm-hmm. But as I said in my comment on your website, mm-hmm. they are very strongly motivated to ignore my solution.
Well, they're too busy. Well, we don't want to make this a show about the medical system, but suffice it to say, it's bought and paid for by the big pharma. They run the system.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Your system doesn't come with a monthly prescription. That's the long and the short of it. Let's be honest. Anyone that goes to the doctor, if they don't walk out with a script, they don't think they've been served.
Mm-hmm.
That is the allopathic modern North America way, I think.
Well, yes, and it's even spreading to India and other countries.
Well, yes.
I get the same response from Indian gastroenterologists that I do from American.
Right. And we said that earlier that India is being heavily financed by the West now as they convert over to our system in every way. And one of them is something as basic as the plumbing, getting the indoor plumbing put in. And that plumbing involves the Western throne. It does not involve what they have been doing forever, I assume.
Yes.
Let's get back to the history, shall we?
Surely.
Okay, where do we leave off? We were installing plumbing in London, England.
Yes, and nobody was making squat toilets. Every new building that was put up had the Western toilet installed, and pretty soon the idea that humans were designed to squat was completely forgotten, and the sitting posture was considered the only natural way, as if Adam and Eve had a porcelain throne at their disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And simultaneously, all these different diseases started to crop up, mm-hmm. and nobody knew the reason. And these included appendicitis, diverticulosis, colon cancer, pelvic organ prolapse, all kinds of gynecological diseases. And so these diseases created a huge industry for treating them, mm-hmm. but absolutely no way to prevent them. And so pretty soon the MDs started to promote the idea that nature had simply made a mistake in its design of the human body.
Yes, I've heard that so often, that the appendix is useless. We have no idea why a scientist or a technocrat would have never designed the human body that way. It's mm-hmm. God's fault. He put this thing in that nobody has any use for.
Right, the incompetence of the creator.
Yeah, that is the dumbest thing anyone could say, but that's what people believe. It's psychically driven in their brain. So that's why it's true, because everyone says so.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so 46 years ago, when I happened to pick up this book on yoga, I believe that the whole thing was, we can say, divinely ordained to get the word out that God's precious creation is being abused on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And there's basically not much more to the history. It's just that it's just a history of ignorance that is perpetuated to this very day.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was just as simple a not a conspiracy. It was just as simple as the fact that people wanted to, it was sold to be like the Queen, that they decided that this particular throne was the best way for people. It's just the easy way. Because before the Queen, was anyone sitting on something like this? Or is this just sort of a royal invention? Were all royalty around Europe doing this? Yeah, I'm just puzzled how this could have just been propagated so widely, because it's so wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of things just sort of happen at random in history. And I'm absolutely certain that the people who designed and installed these porcelain thrones had no idea that it would have unintended consequences.
Unforeseen circumstances come up. Yeah. Well, it's just hard to believe that even in the 1850s there was some medicine that was being done. I guess surgery was maybe starting then, but it just seems that there was. It would seem for this to propagate that there'd have to be quite an ignorance of the basic physiology of the human body. And surely they had an idea of the kinks in the colon,
nobody. I mean, they had no X-rays. I don't think.
No, but they would have done autopsies and cadavers, and so they would have a pretty good handle on just the basic nature of the colon and how it could back up easier this way. You would think.
I think the only way that the harmful effects of the Western toilet could be recognized is by installing it in every home and seeing what happens. It was basically an experiment. Mm-hmm. We can say an unwitting experiment. Mm-hmm.
So to this day, people like me, and I've been looking into alternative research and medicine and food. And I haven't flipped my diet over to fruit or completely like some of these more strenuous vegans or vegetarians are. But
you're not eating 20 bananas a day?
No, I'm not. I eat quite a few, but I haven't flipped yet, but I'm doing many things that I haven't done before. I don't know if she drinks her bananas, I think, anyway, but I am eating a lot of fruit, no doubt about it. I don't mind spending the extra few bucks. It really isn't that expensive, which is a great thing in North America that we're blessed with, that food really is pretty cheap, even fresh food, relatively speaking to everything else we spend our money on. But I'm just amazed that your little voice out there and other voices haven't started to coalesce and really, because this is revolutionary, the fact that there are so many possible health problems that are caused by poor elimination. And I'm interested in the angle as well, because I'm doing a lot of research, just basic research on the nature of disease, the germ theory, Louis Pasteur. I got into raw milk for a little while before Freely convinced me that it's just cow pus and it's really for baby cows, not for humans, although I still like cheese. But I don't drink milk anymore, straight up, even raw milk. I'm not doing shock therapy to my body, but I'm trying. And it just seems so elementary that we have lots of bacteria in us, and certain bacteria belongs in some parts of our body, and it can't go to the other parts because that's what makes us sick and possibly die. We have some really toxic stuff that has to stay in each compartment, otherwise the system, this very complicated system that was created by, as you say, the creator, and I'm starting to believe that too in a way for all the research I've been doing, everything has to be as it is, and just the concept of viruses and germs really is throwing us off some really basic things that we can be doing. Because we've just developed all these very science fiction-like theories about how the body actually works. When you have this really simple thing that you're saying, just eliminate the way you're supposed to, because we are, it seems, backing up like a sewer. And then all these other mythical and in many ways diseases, viruses, germs, whether you believe in any of that or not, and I tend not to now, I'm doubting it anyway, can be solved by something so simple. And it's almost too simple for people to believe. What do you think of that? It's almost like a big lie that something so simple could just solve so many things.
Well, the reason it's being ignored is because the because an entire industry has grown up around the diseases, mm-hmm. and so the people who are considered experts, you know, whose advice the public is willing to follow, are completely compromised by the by their financial motivation. So if they were to, like, if an oncologist was to say, "Oh, you could prevent cancer, colon cancer, by squatting," what would that do to his business? It would destroy his whole life.
Do you really think? But that almost sounds conspiratorial in the sense, because don't you think most doctors just want to make people healthy? Are they so motivated by money?
They were initially motivated by altruism, mm-hmm. and curiosity and all kinds of noble desires. But then they took on $500,000 in debt.
Yeah.
To get their medical education, and they have a mortgage and kids to put through college, and they're not about to cut off their income stream for something so lofty as ethics or truth.
Right, but let's be honest. If I told 100 of my patients tomorrow to start squatting, mm-hmm. would it make that? It wouldn't change my financial statement in my lifetime, because I know
it might cost you your medical license.
Right. Okay. So you're saying that there's peer pressure, number one, but there are these institutions that govern what you can and cannot say.
Yes, and then there's also your patients who will rebel.
Question.
And right.
They'll question and report.
Right? I'm sorry?
They'll question and they'll report. They will, if they see something, say something, as they've been trained. So that information will reach a higher level.
And well, not only that, but they if you tell a patient to start squatting, mm-hmm. the patient is going to look for a doctor who does not impose such weird requirements on you.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that that sounds just too new age, perhaps? That just sounds too hippie? And that sounds like you're not serious about my problem.
And if you happen to be a doctor of the Muslim faith, mm-hmm. or just from the Middle East, and as you know, many doctors are,
right.
You'll be accused of trying to spread Muslim culture to the West.
So you'll be accused of subversion.
Subversion.
Wow.
Because
that's crazy.
Because Islamic toilet etiquette does mandate squatting.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an observant Muslim, then you should be squatting.
Yes, and almost all toilets in mosques are squat toilets.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have Muslim friends. I'll have to ask them, but I think they're fully subscribed to the Western way of living, including McDonald's and whatnot. So I bet you dollars to donuts that they wouldn't know what I was talking about. Maybe in the mosque they would, like you said. I'll have to ask about that. But
well, if you go on Wikipedia under mm-hmm. Islamic toilet etiquette,
okay.
You'll find the whole story. And now, in addition to these barriers that we've mentioned, there's also the self-image of a doctor.
Okay.
Who has been spending the last 10, 20, 30 years practicing medicine in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then he realizes that his whole practice has been based on ignorance.
Right.
What's that going to do to his self-image? It's going to destroy it.
I just was hoping doctors were a little more open to new things. They're certainly open to new drugs every day, right? Someone will walk in, a drug salesman, and say, listen,
yeah,
the last bunch of drugs, they weren't working. Try this smorgasbord of chemical petroleum cocktail.
So, right. Well,
but, you know, that's what seems to be contradicting.
No, but all of these drug based approaches, mm-hmm. they don't in any way threaten the doctor's image as mm-hmm. as a competent person, and they don't in any way threaten his income. But new knowledge that would make his entire medical training
null and void. Yeah,
it,
yeah.
I would expose it as yeah. ignorant. That would destroy his whole prestige, and make all of the wealth that he's accumulated seem illegitimate and fraudulent.
Yeah. Well, this doesn't seem like enough to me for them to think that way. But I'm going to ask my doctor next time. He's from East Asia. And I'll ask him. I'm going to ask him if I can cram in enough conversation in the 5 minutes he's allotted to see me for his whatever he makes from our national or our provincial health service. They're on the clock, too, as you know. They just whip around between rooms as fast as they can. Mm-hmm. But that to me seems a little conspiratorial. The only thing that I can think of that a doctor might resist is he might say, well, there has been no studies to indicate that
yes.
this kind of elimination could possibly be linked to any of the things that you are espousing. So why don't we talk about some of the do we have any anecdotal evidence about people that convert over to squatting? Is there any study?
Well, now, as far as anecdotal evidence, you just yeah. provided the appendicitis story
yeah.
from Punjab.
Yeah.
And there was a small study on hemorrhoids published in the Israeli Journal of Medical Science.
Mm-hmm.
But what you have to understand is the reason why there are no studies.
Yeah.
And the reason is that, first of all, a study is not considered a study unless it's published in a peer-reviewed journal.
Yeah.
And a peer-reviewed journal restricts the studies it will publish
yeah.
To those which serve the interests of the profession.
Right, and the advertisers. And I don't
yeah.
know the nature of all peer-reviewed journals in North America or Western culture, but I'm guessing that a lot of them are sponsored by the big pharma medical industry. They have
right.
a stranglehold on the whole allopathic medical industry. We have
yes.
we're 100%, probably at least 99% allopathic big pharma medical.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
And
right.
It's not only the drugs, but yeah. the makers of colonoscopy machines, the.
Mm-hmm.
The people who perform surgery, the whole, there's a huge industry, besides the drugs.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand, and it's an industry that's impervious to recession. It basically has its own economy. It operates independently of almost every other economy in our system. It constantly increases. It increases without a blink by the people that make the public budgets, because they're literally in awe or afraid of the system. They wouldn't dare even put a finger in the dike of money in the dike to block the flow of money to the system, because I think most people, especially people that are helped by the medical system or think they're helped, treat them as sorcerers, the new wizards that can do no wrong. They just are magical. They put on that white coat and they may as well have a magic wand and then wave it at you and you're better the next day. That's people's impressions. They don't question. I question my doctor because he actually said that some of my cholesterol readings were a little high. And at that point, I had just read a study that was questioning the whole methodology of testing for cholesterol and the whole ideas about cholesterol being bad for you. And he was already just making those inklings that I might... Oh, I'm echoing here. There was a study that was mentioning that almost another 33% of all Americans could benefit, even if they don't have high cholesterol, by the statins. And I couldn't believe it. And he just told me within the week that my cholesterol numbers were just getting on the high side. And I said, listen, don't even open your mouth about drugs. I'm not taking them. Mm-hmm. Don't even start. So the point is that was, you could just tell he was angling that way because that is the information that he's getting probably every day. The drug company's coming up, throwing a report on his desk, telling how they can help him do his job.
Exactly. Now, Tim, have you ever heard of earthing?
No. Only on your site. I think something about putting some kind of device to ground yourself?
Yes.
What is that related to this?
In terms of cardiovascular health, there is nothing more important than earthing.
Okay. Well, is this a new topic or...
No, I don't want to digress, but I just wanted to mention that, and also the free do-it-yourself earthing device that my site discusses.
Well, why don't you bring it up then? And what is earthing? What on earth is earthing?
Human beings were not only designed to squat. They were designed to walk barefoot on the earth.
Okay.
And like any machine needs to be grounded for the electrical properties to, for the machine to work efficiently.
Right.
And the human body is basically an electrical machine.
Okay.
And needs to be grounded by having skin contact with the earth.
Okay.
And this can be achieved... even if you're indoors, even if you, even if you're sitting at your computer, with a very simple device that connects a wire to your skin, on the one hand, and to the grounding source on the other.
Okay.
And what it does is it thins the blood, so that you won't form clots, which can develop into strokes and pulmonary embolisms.
Right.
And it, let's see, it has many other benefits. It lowers your blood pressure.
So I basically have to plug myself in and not to the 120 volt side of the plug.
Right, you can use the ground hole of an outlet, or it's much safer to use a pipe under the sink.
Okay.
Or, ideally, you can stick a pipe into the ground as a ground rod, and then run the wire into your house and against your skin.
So you're saying that, I have carpeting. So you're saying when I walk around and shock myself when I touch an outlet or something, or a wall switch, that I'm, well, obviously I have a charge on me, a positive or a negative charge, I don't know which, and I'm grounding myself right there when I get a shock.
Yeah, it's similar to that, but with this device, you can actually be grounded all night long as you're sleeping, and okay. you'll find that the quality of your sleep is infinitely deeper and more rejuvenating.
Interesting.
And there are about 20 published studies on earthing at earthinginstitute.net.
All right.
But
this sounds a little farther off my scale believability than squatting. Squatting just seems so intelligent to me, but maybe because I've never heard of earthing, I guess that's the main
thing. Right. The thing that they have in common is that you can verify the effect immediately by yourself without really spending any money.
No, I'm fine with that. Yeah. I don't mind spending money. I'm not against spending money.
Right. Well,
we're in the money system, but
okay.
And I make money, but okay.
Your decision about whether to take earthing seriously or squatting can be a completely self. It can completely depend on research on your own self.
Okay. Well, it's something I'm willing to look at. I get the sheets tangled up as I roll over in bed. I can just imagine having a wire. If it's on my big toe, it wouldn't be a problem turning. But if it's anywhere else, it could be a mess.
If you wear your socks, mm-hmm. then you can drop it in between your sock and your skin.
Wow. Have you hooked up an ammeter to yourself to actually verify any of these claims that there is a charge on you? No, I'm not kidding.
I haven't myself, but there are lots of videos showing people hooked up and touching their earthing system and releasing it, and it shows on the computer screen what's going on electrically in their body.
Well, I see Gaetan Chevalier, PhD, director of the Earthing Institute. I see another interview coming along.
Oh, yeah. He would probably be happy to talk to you.
The most important health discovery ever. I hate when they get so much hyperbole on covers.
Is it really? I had some serious health problems that I was very worried about, mm-hmm.
And you were squatting.
And I was squatting. This had nothing to do with my colon.
Okay.
And I'm quite certain that by earthing, I corrected those problems, and I would not begrudge them their claim that it's the greatest health discovery ever.
How do you do you pretty much always have to have a wire, some kind of wire hooked up to you, even if you're in your car?
You don't have to be grounded all day long. Mm-hmm. If you're just grounded at night,
that's half
when you're
the day.
Sleeping.
Yeah.
And if you're, especially when you're at the computer, because you're bombarded by electromagnetic fields, mm-hmm. and this neutralizes that.
Would I be able to put my feet on a pad? Would that actually work?
Yeah, if you had bare feet.
Okay. So if I put my bare feet on some kind of earthing pad that is hooked up to the ground of the electrical outlet, that could work.
Yes. In fact, if you just have a wire with an alligator clip on each end, mm-hmm. and clip one alligator clip to the chassis of your computer, mm-hmm. and drop the other clip into your sock, mm-hmm. then you're good to go.
Well, actually, I was going to buy one when I was putting my computer together because it said I was supposed to be grounded. Otherwise, I'd blow out a circuit as I'm... Mm-hmm. I built my own computer, by the way. I was pretty proud of myself.
Oh, great.
But that was one thing I was going to buy. It was a clip. You're supposed to clip yourself to the frame as you're building it. So you don't pop a circuit, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And
so if I just hooked up an alligator clip to the computer case and the computer case is grounded, you're saying...
Right.
And where would I hook that up to on my body? I don't have an outlet on my body. Would I just...
Oh, well, you clip okay, a finger if you have in? An alligator... If you have a clip on both ends of the wire...
Oh, yeah, you put it on your wrist. Yeah, they had a wrist thing. That's what it was.
Or you could drop it into your sock.
Hmm. Just put it in your sock.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's touching the skin.
Well, that one's a tougher sell for me in terms of it would be harder, it just logically harder for me to understand that one. Now, I understand we used to run around in bare feet, and a lot of people say shoes are like walking around with crutches all day. They're no good for your feet because all the muscles in your feet go soft, right? When you wear shoes, they're basically supporting your feet that are supposed to be. Do you run around barefoot, by the way, just for that reason? A little bit?
Well, usually I wear shoes when I'm outside.
Yeah.
Because I'm grounded. I'm grounded about 20 hours a day anyway.
Mm-hmm. So you're grounded at night, and I assume you're saying you sit in front of your computer a lot.
As I'm speaking to you, I'm completely grounded.
Mm-hmm. You don't ground yourself on the squatter, do you? No, I'm just joking. Little joke. Little levity here. Getting a little serious here. Well, I'm gonna I'll look into that one. But let's get back to maybe a few more before we wrap it up. A few more of the mechanics of the squatter. Now, my big problem is I'm not home most of the time. What are the practicalities of squatting on the road? Because it's hard enough just to find a coffee shop that has a bathroom that's not disgusting to use when I'm out on the road, or an office, or I'm not sure I could take all my lower clothings off to get up on the bowl either. This is the problem I'm having, because a lot of people are not near their throne all day long.
Right.
What do you recommend? What are some practical tips?
Well, one is to get in the habit of squatting whenever you're in your house, and to take care of that chore before you leave the house in the morning.
Yeah. Now here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
This is a totally serious question. I sometimes try and train my bowels. I've heard people that try and train their bowels, and I don't think I've trained my bowels. I can't time it. Lately I eat a lot of healthy foods, and I'm trying to save everything for the next morning if I can. So I can, because I have a toilet bidet as well. I got the whole wash and blow dryer hooked up to my for my toilet. And it's just a really nice way of doing things. But I'm curious, if I don't have the sensation, I usually don't go. Because I like to just have, I don't want to get too graphic, but I guess to hell with that. We're talking basic functions. Mm-hmm. Who cares? You and I we have a connection with this topic now, so I think we can be more graphic. If I don't have an urgent need, I don't go, because I've always been trained, you don't go ahead in there and sit and push, because I've always heard pushing is just a bad idea. So I've always trained myself, I don't have one locked and loaded, I'm not going to go sit down. I wait till it's just urgent. I go there, put my knees up on that stool, and boom, I'm out of there in 30 seconds now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're squatting, now I haven't squatted yet. I have not squatted yet, even because I told you my lily pad's not here, and I actually didn't notice your cinder block solution. I'm not sure I'm allowed to do that one in here. But if you're squatting and you don't even have the urge, is because you have this perfect alignment now, is it an issue that can you go anyway? That's my question. You've been doing it a long time, so go ahead, answer that one.
It is completely variable from one person to another.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's colon works differently. Some people have strong peristalsis. Some people have weak. Mm-hmm. And so there's no answer to that question that will that can be generalized.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I just thought if I got into the squatting habit and I could just try and make it a routine in the morning, that way I have my squat, because just at work, I'm not sure I want to get up on that bowl. I don't want to knock it over or knock it off. I mean, that's the biggest concern, really, from what I've researched. If I could do it at home, that would be ideal. Because also getting into some of the mechanics here, it seems like you got to take all your clothes off below your belt.
Well, the
down to your socks.
The professionals in Asia who've been doing it all their lives,
yeah,
they can actually get away with not removing their pants.
Okay, so their pants are around their ankles.
No.
How do you do it? I mean, there's no videos on this. I mean, I can't watch it. I just learned how to clean my carburetor today. Everything's on YouTube. So guess what? I cleaned my own jet today. I've never done that before, because you can do everything now by going to YouTube. But this is one I don't think is going to be there.
Don't be so sure.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
They have a blue section on YouTube?
No, I think they have some discreet videos showing exactly how. I think there's even one showing Bruce Lee squatting in a public toilet. And what he does is he lowers his pants, not all the way to his ankles. In fact, his pants are still above the knee.
Hmm. Okay.
And
how can you do that without soiling your pants? I just don't see the geometry there.
You just have to practice and be very careful.
Hmm. Can you lean backwards? I just don't see the geometry here. If you're squatting, you lean backwards maybe. But you're saying you've got to be sloped forward, but that's because you're telling me that's because the Achilles tendon is weak in most non-squatters. I'm just having a problem visualizing this thing here. I should email Freely to do some videos. I could watch her all day, but you know, she's been pretty close to naked in most of her videos, but this one she kept her clothes on.
Right.
But
just keep practicing and experimenting, and you'll figure out the optimal solution.
So practice makes perfect. So you don't have to strip right down. Take your shoes, socks, pants, everything. You don't have to do that.
Well, it's more considerate to take your shoes off, because otherwise the people who sit on the toilet seat will have to deal with a dirty and scuffed up seat.
Okay. Well, I always clean the seat at work anyway, because so many idiots don't lift the damn seat up and they spray the bowl down.
Yeah.
But I'm always cleaning the thing. So you're now. Can you do this on just without your setup, without your cinder blocks and your can? Would you or could you or should you get up on a bowl and just do a squat? Is it, what are the downfalls? What have you seen?
I would say if you're over 160 pounds, it's too risky.
Okay, I am over 160, but I'm in shape. But doesn't matter.
You can break the bowl. If the weight is concentrated at one point on the bowl.
Okay.
How's
that possible, though? Because what if a 400-pound guy sits on the damn bowl? Is his weight just distributed better around the circle?
That's right. When you're squatting, your weight is concentrated on two very small points.
Okay.
And you can, as Freely said, you can find lots of, or you can find some videos showing the tragic results when toilets have broken. But if you go to an airport, most of the international airports in the world, you'll find lots of scuffed up toilet seats.
Really?
Where people have actually squatted right on the seat.
Well, you mean muddy, but my boots wouldn't scuff up a seat. They just might make it dirty, but most people clean the seat. Okay. So.
No, but you can also, the abrasion of the shoes against the seat can leave
scuff marks. Okay.
Scuff marks.
Yeah. All right. I've never looked, but I just look for liquid when I'm checking the bowl out, making sure it's dry. I don't want to sit on someone's wet stuff there.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't, so what do you do if you're on the road or you're away from your
well,
home
I'm,
base?
Well, I'm extreme.
What do you do?
I'm about 135 pounds. So I've been squatting on toilet seats, as I say, for 46 years.
So there's no issue there. Do you lift the seat up and squat on the bowl, or do you stand on the seat?
I squat on the seat.
Okay.
With wearing, you know, just with bare feet.
Okay.
And in the early days, you know, I can remember, you know, in my 20s, when I would stay in a hotel, it would just be such a thrilling experience to convert this. This classy hotel into a jungle outhouse. And for some reason the whole concept was exhilarating.
Yeah, I gotta admit, there's just something that seems wrong about it for me. I'm not sure I could do it at work. Well, you're saying I'm over the magic number of 160, so that probably wouldn't happen anyway, unless I lug some cinder blocks into the bathroom.
Yeah, so maybe you could just prop up your feet on something.
Well, I tried that. Yeah, I found a garbage can the other day, but then it's more like a squatty potty.
If that's the best you can do, then you know
it does work.
Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah. Well, you say it's a 2 out of 10 for squatty potty, and. I think it's a little higher than that, but I haven't really done any of this full squat yet because just that video of the guy saying your thighs pushing against your abdomen, that's pretty amazing. That got my attention as well, just how it I don't even know the mechanics of the whole thing yet because I just haven't done it. It's going to take some practice is what I'm trying to say.
You know, it was interesting listening to that video because I could hear long passages that I remember writing being quoted back to me. And it was an interesting experience.
Yeah. Are you a little I detect a slight bitter tone to the whole thing cuz you're 66, you've been doing this for 40 years you said. And it's not there's not a squatting toilet on every corner at this point, and people are lifting your material.
My educational campaign has only been going on since 2001.
Right. And something bigger happened that year, as you might remember.
Right.
It was a tough year to get going.
Or something bigger is alleged to have happened.
Well, don't go there. I mean, you promised. Yeah, that's my favorite topic of all time, actually. But
right,
yeah, it's
no, I was kidding there.
No, I okay, good.
If you've detected a bitter tone, then I still have more work to do in becoming unattached to my mission.
Well, no, it wasn't totally bitter. There was just a bit of reservation because people are lifting your material, and they're kind of doing it okay, but not enough for you. And it's, I can see that there's just a little twinge in your voice, and I'm not sure how I could advise you to on this topic, because I'm not even sure personally how I can approach it for myself, let alone try and evangelize it to my immediate family. I'm not even sure I could bring it up at the next family get-together. I'm just, you see, what I talk about, 9/11 and all the media fakery, I'm totally shut down on that topic now among family and friends. I got some angry responses initially, and now I don't even waste my time. I just say, you go ahead and read the paper, enjoy it. You'll love it. And make sure your cortisone levels are through the roof every day as you watch the news. That's fine. You got any questions? You know, just call your local newspaper for answers. Because I don't even preach the gospel anymore of what I do. So that's why you and I are sort of in similar boats. You've got health on your side. You've got common sense, because this is totally common sense to me with regards to straightening the whole alignment. That makes total sense to me. The backing up of the waste into the system and causing stagnation and all the other negative consequences of not proper alignment. It's just common sense. Now the mechanics of doing it with our system balancing on a bowl, that's a little trickier, and that's where I'm trying to figure it out. And how I could do it in a more routine way. And how, you know, we're up against changing the plumbing system of all of the Western world now, because it just actually doesn't line up really, really well.
Well,
so,
yes.
It's a daunting task.
The cost of replacing every toilet in the world would be far less than 1 year's savings in healthcare costs.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You know, the cost of people realizing media fakery would lower all kinds of deleterious health from cortisol, which is a result of stress, and it's unnecessary stress, and that and all that requires is turning off the television, for God's sakes. Never mind redesigning the plumbing or putting a new bowl in. I agree with you. Your what you have to say is pretty damn simple. Now I'm just trying to figure it out for my own health, and I'm not quite sure it would need, as you said, re-engineering, and I can't even get that bowl over here, because once you get over here, you can't hook it up to your plumbing. So it looks like the cinder blocks are pretty much the way to go, or the lily pad, which at least has a little bit of a furniture-like look to it. But I just don't know. How would you bring this up at in pleasant mixed company, perhaps? I brought it up to my people that are, I know, from the third world, because they know what I'm talking about. But how could I bring this up in mixed company?
Why do you have to bring it up?
Well, if you want to evangelize this and try and spread the word, how could this ever come up? That's my point. Have you done the squat today? I mean, you know, have you had a squat today? I mean, how would you bring it up?
Well, you see, I've been mainly bringing it up to medical professionals.
Yeah, but you already told me they erected the Berlin Wall around them.
It's not a completely impenetrable wall. But until they... their conscience forces them to do the right thing, there's really not much you can do about bringing it up in polite company. You know, doctors have the right to bring up icky subjects.
They don't.
But
they
but,
don't.
You know, you're
they
not.
They just don't. They just don't. You know, do you go to the doctor at all?
Never.
Oh, okay. Well, I go to the doctor every year. I'm one of those program people. I've always gone to the doctor. I've had, I would say, more negative results. Now, I've never been really sick, God forbid, but with my children, I go to the doctor. With birthing, we went to the doctor, and I'm very upset about the whole thing, the whole way it was handled. I can't recommend it. I can't not recommend it, but for me, I just couldn't recommend it. I had so many negative experiences. It was crappy, but it was just like going into a business and getting bad service, honestly. They have no time for you. Unless you're a massive big problem, an emergency, they don't care about you. It's just, there's no time for you. You go in, you're on a timer, and this goes for all kinds of different parts of your different types of doctors. There is no way they don't have time to sit back and have a chat about earthing and or how you doing your number two. I mean, this guy does my prostate test so fast, I barely got my pants down. I thought, I said, wow, you're fast. I mean, you didn't even say hello, basically. That's how fast you're in and out. There's no time for conversation. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, well.
Unless my colon is falling out of my butt, they're not going to be asking, what are you doing on the bowl? This just doesn't come up anywhere.
Right.
You know, so that's what I'm trying to, you've got way more experience with this topic. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, I'm going to beat this topic into my family's mind, right? But short of forcing them, which I can't, I don't even know how far I'll get on in my personal circles.
Well,
I'm looking for tips.
You know, you just have to wait for the appropriate moment. If, for example, if they start to have hemorrhoids or, you know what a rectocele is?
A rectocele? No.
It's a very common problem that women have, where the rectum... it's sort of a hernia where the rectum bulges into the vaginal canal.
Oh boy!
And it's one of several types of pelvic organ prolapse.
Okay.
Which is, you know, associated with Western culture.
Oh yeah, I see it now. Rectocele. Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to wait for the appropriate time and...
wait for a problem is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, that seems how most people approach things, right? They wait till it's a problem. I've been trying to be proactive on everything I do, and I'm doing things before anything starts to occur. Because, of course, when you're diagnosed or with cancer, it's almost always too late by the time you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right, for any kind of easygoing treatment, they go right for the jugular once it manifests. So that's why I'm trying to do everything ahead of time. So if it's a problem, yeah, that's when people start looking, is what you're saying.
That's what I've experienced.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally when I go to the hardware store to get parts for my Nature's Platform business, and, you know, I buy all these weird parts, and then I give my card to the cashier and say, if you want to know what I'm using this for, you can check out my website.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. But even still, you don't have much time with a cashier these days, especially if it's self-checkout, right? Home Depot, they're pushing that like crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I guess you could leave a card there. Well, this has been a real interesting conversation, I have to admit. I did order the lily pad, like I said. You're saying to me that there might be an issue with the distance between the feet. It might be a little too wide.
Yeah.
But does everything else line up? Besides the feet being a little too widely placed apart, is everything else good?
Yes, everything else is very close to perfect.
Okay. But it might just be a little uncomfortable, but you're saying everything, all the physiology lines up to be consistent with squatting, the normal squat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll get, I would say it's on a 1 to 10 scale, the lily pad is a 9.
Oh, okay. And yours would be a 10, your device, that you're not selling on a mass scale?
Yes.
Okay.
And the Anglo-Indian toilet would be a 10. And the cinder block method would be a 10.
Ah, and that's almost three.
And, you know, that was FAQ number 6. Now, FAQ number 7, did you happen to notice that one?
I'm going to look now. FAQ number 7. I feel nervous being up so high. Is there a way to squat closer to the floor? Okay, what do we got here? Yes. Just put a container on the floor and foot pads on either side. The foot pads can be concrete blocks or telephone books or planks of wood. The version shown here is a forward slope to keep you from falling backwards. Okay. This method is also ideal for potty training. Children are more flexible, so they will not need the incline. Daily squatting will keep them flexible throughout their lives. Okay. So that we're back to basically the chamber pot.
We are. But instead of tossing it out the window, you have a nice porcelain throne to serve as the as the receptacle.
Is this now, when they used the chamber pot back in the beginning, did they set up on blocks as well, or how did they do it then? Do you know?
I don't know exactly. I don't know. You know, if they didn't have something to elevate their feet, then they would probably bump against the chamber pot.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't answer that one.
Have you ever done it this way in a pinch? I'm just not sure. I'm probably like everyone else. I'm just not comfortable dealing with my own waist. I like it to go away.
Exactly,
we're supposed to study it and look at it, by the way.
That's right.
For health
reasons.
You
know what the German toilets are like?
No, I never been there.
They have an inspection shelf.
You're kidding. Really?
You can Google that when you get a chance.
Inspection
shelf. So that your discomfort with your waist will go away within 3 days of using FAQ number 7.
When I typed in German toilet inspection shelf, the number one hit on the great Google is terrifying German toilets. Planet Germany.
Yeah.
Wow. How does that work? So obviously you drop it onto the shelf, and then what? No, I'm curious. This is crazy. I'm learning so much today.
Then if the water pressure is high enough, when you push down on the lever, it'll fly across the room.
What?
I'm not kidding you.
What? Well, hold on. What is the point of the inspection shelf is to look at it. Okay. So it lands there, but why is it designed that way? Is it a medical device?
It's a sort of a home medical device.
Okay. So once it's on the shelf, are you supposed to just use the manual method? Use your hand to get it down?
No, you press on the lever, and if the water pressure is just right, it'll go where it's supposed to. But if it's too strong, I've heard accounts of
it'll fly out of the ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Wow. Well, since we're doing potty talk, what is your stance on toilet paper? What do you do in that case? What do you do for that? What is your normal cleanup method?
As I have I've responded to this question many times over the years.
Oh, okay.
But by saying that I am only going to break one taboo at a time.
Okay.
And the taboo that I'm breaking, that I want to focus on, is the posture.
Yeah. Okay. Is it a taboo speaking out against toilet paper?
No, it's not. But okay. It will push many people over the brink, and cause them to reject any change to their toilet habits.
I understand. Well, I bought something at Costco. I'm a big Costco supporter, and it was during the time of my research, and it was a bidet seat, and it was really, really reasonable. I bought it, and again, nobody else, I think no one else in my family will use it. They're just afraid of the damn thing. It's an amazing thing. The seat is heated. It's got warm water. It's got a spray, an oscillating spray. It has a blow dryer. The thing's beautiful. And again, when I looked it up at this kind of device, it's widespread in Japan and so many countries. They don't use toilet. It's crazy. We're so backwards here. And I thought, well, that's another reason why I'd rather go at home. Because I've got this great seat. Otherwise, I'm using one-ply toilet, just some of the worst crap, worst stuff to use on your butt. It's ridiculous. It's so archaic. So, personally, I don't know why you're reticent talking about it. Let's be honest. Once people cross the line of opening their minds to common sense, if we're losing people now because we're talking about a bidet-type seat, that seems the opposite, but you're senior to me, so I accept your reservations. You obviously have more experience on this, but to me that was an easy first step for me.
Oh, well, I guess everyone's different.
Oh my goodness. And it's so much more, it's so much cleaner. Right. It makes total sense. But again, that's another reason why I don't want to leave my bowl, because I've got this wonderful device on there. But looking at some of the Indian toilets, they look like they have a shower head or a power sprayer beside the unit.
Right.
And again, it makes so much more sense. So much more sense than what we do here. Well, do you have any more things that I passed over? You've got an FAQ on your website, naturesplatform.com. It has quite a few more points that we didn't touch on, but I think we gave the whole topic. We didn't give it the bum's rush. Oh, there's so many puns we could go with. But have we hit most of the high points?
Well, I can't think of any urgent topics. You know, of course, I would have liked to go into every one of the medical aspects, but people can read that on the website, and I'm quite certain that that the information on that website will be taught in every medical school in the country, if not in the world, eventually. But
do you think in your lifetime?
Yes, I do expect it to happen in my lifetime. I think there will be a sudden transition point where studies start to appear in many, many different journals confirming the claims that I've made.
Well, you're a more optimistic person than I am. I don't think that any of my research is going to make the mainstream anytime soon. Although there's lots of people talking about it now, so I think my research into media fakery and what I like to talk about has transitioned a lot more into the study of human psychology, where it seems like the people that rule over us, And I think, well, maybe you don't agree, that there's probably a pretty small group that control all the marbles. And I think all the money, all the effort they put into is in human psychology and human behavior and how to make people do what they want them to do, how to make crowds move. And that total information system that they control, I don't think there's a conspiracy to keep your website or this topic down in any way. But I also know that to counter, for instance, the mainstream propaganda that buries us every day, that is the actual system that you have to use to make people see your way of thinking, to make people move in a certain direction. And that requires infinite sources of money and media control. So unless you use those techniques, is what I'm saying, I think it'd be very difficult to break any kind of barrier into... This is a sea change in a way of thinking. It's also a topic, yes, that just does not come up at the grocery store, at the dinner table, at the water cooler. It's just never going to come up in our lifetime, in my opinion. Because how do you even introduce it? As I said
before.
Well,
let me give you an analogy.
Okay.
Colon cancer was never... was never discussed anywhere, and now there have been several celebrities who have had their colonoscopies televised.
Oh boy, okay.
And so in a similar way, a subject can go from being completely taboo. Well, another analogy is gay marriage, which was absolutely unthinkable, you know, 10 years ago.
Okay.
And now it's legal almost everywhere. So a subject can, you know, when the consciousness is ready, it will suddenly shift and it'll be a whole new world. That's one way to respond to your point. And the other way is to say that there is a power much greater than any man-made conspiracy that whatever small group of masters that you're describing, mm-hmm, is absolutely puny compared to the almighty force of nature, which is supporting the growth of consciousness and the information about all these health benefits. And so there's really just no contest. It's just a puny group of nefarious characters who are going to be completely overwhelmed by the force of natural law.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as one guy I don't really like too much in my media circles that I have listened to in the past, it is an information war, and really to get our message out, you would need some very high profile celebrities to endorse this, and mm-hmm, and just a really clear links between all the diseases that we did not get into today, like appendicitis, which is a pretty damn routine thing going on now. It's mm-hmm, I think you mentioned it's up 40,000 in a year in America. Appendicitis, it's just like,
yeah,
it's a very, very common surgery, mm-hmm, and nobody gives two thoughts about it. It's basically like removing wisdom teeth now. It's just so routine, I think, mm-hmm, and nobody even cares to look into the cause. They've already decided that it's just a part of the body that was misdesigned, or it's an anachronism to the past where it just didn't get shed in their evolution theories of nonsense, and therefore it's just a mistake for the modern man, I suppose. So,
yeah, well, you know, read that Kitchen Rag article,
yeah,
and send it to anyone who has had an appendectomy,
yeah,
and just little by little, drop by drop, the great vats are filled. That's an old Indian expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, the Indians. I hope we get the knowledge out of India before it's completely westernized. that's happening really fast. I have inside information just on the people I deal with all the time that it's the new frontier, it's the new Wild West for America, and that's why I think they're number one on America's aid right now. Aid as in let's help you become like us. McDonald's, Home Depot, Costco on every corner, coming to an Indian town near you. Well, we've come to about 2 hours. I think that's as long as most people would ever dare listen to any topic at all. I found this fascinating, and I hope you enjoyed yourself here. I hope I was able to extract as much of your knowledge on this topic as can be reasonably given. So,
well, thank you very much for taking on the time to listen to me and for helping to air this desperately needed knowledge.
Well, I think it's very important and it's very interesting. I'm going to order the lily pad. I've seen your device and the Canadian version of it. There was one more that I found that looks like a chair, a folding chair. I didn't like the aesthetics of that either. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
Yes, I am. It's one of my disciples, we can say.
Yeah. Do you like that setup? It just looks a little too, well, just a little too ladder-like. It just you know, things should look like they belong in certain rooms. I know it looks very like a medical device, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, you'd think there'd be an easy answer, but it seems there isn't a perfect solution for everyone. There's just nothing, you know, there isn't a $300 item that just would look beautiful in your bathroom, is my point.
Yeah, well, you know, a toilet can be manufactured and can be sold for $100, and those Anglo-Indian toilets, if they could be mass produced, shouldn't be more than $150.
Mm-hmm. But then you have the plumbing, right? Then
no, you would probably need a plumber to replace the toilet, but
no,
you can do it yourself.
So you're saying you could put that toilet on top of the existing hole. Mm-hmm. There's no additional, there's no complex flushing system that has to be hooked up.
Well, if the American version mm-hmm. of the Anglo-Indian toilet is produced, it will be as easy to install as any toilet.
Okay.
That's sold in Home Depot.
So if I could order one of those, import one of those,
mm-hmm.
there's no, it would fit the existing sewage system.
No. I'm saying if an American version.
Okay.
Of that toilet, okay. one that's designed for American plumbing.
Okay.
Then it would be interchangeable.
So there isn't. So that does not exist.
It does not exist,
okay.
And I am serving notice right now to any entrepreneur who wants to make a killing to get one produced.
Yeah, I don't even know the layout, what it would look like. I'm not quite certain how the water flows and whatnot. But it could be done. But you're saying that the only thing you can do now in North America is to buy an adapter for the existing toilets that we have now.
You can't
put the Indian thing that's on the floor with the tank on the wall. You can't put those into a North American plumbing setup now.
When you say the Indian thing, you mean
there's I've seen pictures of what they use in India where the squat is on the floor pretty much. And there's a tank on the wall. I don't know how the water works on that.
Well, if you talked to the guy at Blue Earth Ceramics,
yeah,
he could probably help you do that conversion because he does that was part of his business.
Okay,
but I don't know what his status is.
Okay, so that is what looks like an Indian toilet to me, or an Indian squat toilet. Mm-hmm. So he was in the business of bringing that to North America and somehow making it work with our plumbing.
Exactly.
Okay. Because that looks like the nicest setup, like the most elegant.
The problem is that it would destroy the resale value of your house.
Oh, that's true. I couldn't move. I'd be stuck here. I get it. Okay, well, all right, well, see, just talking with you, the expert, it's still confusing to me, the layperson who's trying to make this thing work, but it's a worthwhile thing if you want to save your health, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'll be posting this on my website, fakeologist.com. And it's episode FAK155. And you are Jonathan Ibbotson. Sorry, I'm just...
Isbit.
I'm sorry. Jonathan Isbit of naturesplatform.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the inventor of a special platform that can be assembled and disassembled in 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not available for mass production, but if you listen to this interview and you want to get in touch with you, you will potentially negotiate something or other or point
right.
People in the right direction. Okay.
I will try, yes.
Well, very good. All right. Well, you're welcome, of course, to use this interview for any... And everything on your website. I noticed the existing interview link on your website seems to be pointing to a dead address right now. But you're welcome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, the NPR thing. There are probably a lot of dead links on my website.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome to put this one on if you so desire.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Tim.
All right. Nice chatting with you. And good luck with your crusade. I'll look for your name in big, bright lights in the future. And hopefully we'll get the message out.
Great. Thanks
all
again.
All right. Take care, Jonathan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, that was a good call. There goes Jonathan. Away he goes. And I'll just close off this call now. And I'm not sure if I'll put the bumper music on this one today. I'm going to just leave it maybe as is. That way he can post it on his site. Jonathan is concerned that he gets the message out in a clean, pure way, not to mix it up with some of the other controversial topics, because apparently even the washing topic is a little too controversial, let alone media fakery and all the things we like to talk about here. And I can understand, but this topic seems to stand on its own anyway. It's nothing. I've never heard any interviews on this subject at all. So hopefully he'll be able to use this and help promote at least understanding. I think just the health benefits are incredible, if any of them are even close to being true. And it's fascinating how, I guess it's an embarrassing topic, a taboo topic, has just been totally ignored. by the mainstream, especially in light of the fact that colon cancer, like so many other cancers, are accelerating on the graph onwards and upwards, and the only solution is the usual slash burn and poison, which of course is a ridiculous solution for the most part, 98% failure rate. So look into this. As I said, I ordered a lily pad. It's just basically a wood structure that is stained nicely and hopefully it won't look too obtrusive around the bowl. And I'll let you know how that goes. They even sell the instructions for $5 on that site, LilyPad. Just type LilyPad and toilet in Google, and you can give it to your favorite carpenter. And my carpenter told me it'd be about $50 worth of plywood. It'd probably take him another couple hours to build. So the price that's on the LilyPad site, including shipping, is pretty much at cost. There's not probably much profit being made on that at all. Otherwise, the solution of the cinder blocks and the plywood, it seems pretty crude, but that is low cost. And then Jonathan and another Canadian fellow have a collapsible platform that goes around the existing bowl. That's pretty damn interesting, but how many people are going to be willing to climb up on top? That's another story, even if it saves the lower half of your life. So it's an interesting topic. Good luck bringing it up in mixed company. But if anyone is successful or has any stories about it, feel free to comment under the comment section on fakeologist.com. All right, everybody. Signing off. Have a good night.
Hi, this is Jeffrey, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.